Has nothing to do with my smarts. Amen. It's because I'm good at begging money, and Bible College needs someone that can do that. But it is an honor to be here, and while I'm here, your pastor's with my brother. Now, how does that figure? Amen. My brother put on family thread we have last week. Look who I have preaching for me on Sunday, and they're supposed to be away for a break, and my brother found out they're there, so he's preaching in the Netherlands, and I'm here, so Calhoun and Linders are tied pretty close today, and it's great. I look around this congregation, and all I see is, I shouldn't say all, but what I see is global missions. Amen. Sister Brenda Myers, she was my boss for a while when I first became director back in the early 1990s for the state of Maine. And she was with Brother Miller then at headquarters. And she just went from one department to another there. And everyone knows the person with the title is not the boss. Okay, Brother Miller may have had the title as his education and promotions and all that kind of stuff and deputation, but the girl that was there, she was the one that was, amen, doing it. And so great to see her. And I was 14 years, I was director altogether, and just thankful for the opportunity I've had to work with missions. And then my brother is a missionary in the Netherlands, and just to be here with everyone. I just take Daniel because to get a hug from Raquel, I have to shake hands with Daniel. And so it's good to see them. We've known them for a lot of years. And Raquel's dad and mom are some of our very best friends, Wallace's. And good to see them. And then last night, Brother Brian, amen, took me out to P.F. Chang's. And we got some good Chinese food. And it was great. And we're connected through Jonesport. I'm not related to anyone in Jonesport, I don't think, but in Jonesport, we have the connection there because of the Smith family, and even bigger than that is the lobsters they serve there. So both of us love going there, and then meet Brother Dan this morning, and it's so good for that. And amen. God's great. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's awesome to be in the presence of God. Yeah. And it was, I believe, 4 years ago, this past New Year's, since I was here for the New Year's Eve service and was down at that time for Brother Goddard to do his they'd asked me to come and preach his retirement weekend in Anderson, South Carolina. And so we had the opportunity to get in a few churches while we were here. Man, my wife, I would say that I apologize, but I'd just be apologizing for me, not for her. And because she is in Anderson with the Goddards today. Sister Goddard texted her a few days ago and said, well, when you're coming into Charlotte on Saturday, why don't I come to Charlotte and pick you up? And my wife said, let me talk to my husband. And then Sister Goddard came back and said, but it would be fun to be with the Linders. And then my wife went back and said, well, it just so happens that the Linders are not going to be here. And Sister Goddard said, I'll be there. And so yesterday I had a chance to try out two restaurants. One was the Cheesecake Factory, amen, in Charlotte, and the other one with P.F. Chang. So if my suit is tight this morning, it's your fault. Hallelujah. Awesome to be here. What a beautiful presence of God. And I was live video in the choir. And my first cousin, who is a really loves God, he is a Baptist guy and really a lay minister, and he has pancreatic cancer. And while the choir was singing about the name of Jesus, I looked and Morris Calhoun's name came up, and he watched to sing about the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been praying for him, and he believes that God, wouldn't it be great if while the choir was singing about the name of Jesus as a Canadian, amen, was healed of pancreatic cancer. Hallelujah. I had coffee with him a few days ago. They told him a while ago, really when he first was diagnosed with it, they told him, they said, Morris, he said, how long do I have? And they said between 6 months and 10 years. And he was 69 then, so he was taking the 10-year one at least. And he had tumors in his pancreas. and then also spots on his lungs. And I had coffee with him a couple of weeks ago, and he told me then, him and Debbie, his wife, said, Mel said, our last CAT scan we had said that the tumor in the pancreas has shrunk and the spots in the lungs has shrunk. Amen. And we're praying for healing. Amen. Hallelujah. Lots of people watching. I have a friend of mine that pastors in Maine that introduced me into the tagging and checking in. And he has a church that runs about 130, 140 people. And when they come to service, no matter what it's for, if it's for Saturday night prayer meeting, if it's for Sunday, they have, like you do, they have a 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock service. If it's then, if it's Wednesday night Bible study, whatever it is, their people tag in on Facebook. That's where they're at. And his son works in the IT and is in all of that kind of stuff. And Cameron, his son, said to him, said, Dad, if we had even 50 people that tagged in that they were at Crossroads Apostolic, he said that everyone on their timeline, I don't know how that all that works, amen. See, so all of a sudden, when a few people tag in, there's hundreds of people in the area, amen, that if that happened here, that Heaven View would be on their newsfeed, amen. And it's kind of awesome the way that it works. So the choir was heard today, not only in Winston-Salem at Heaven View, but it was heard in Canada, and it was heard in Arizona. Sister Mallory was on, and amen. There's just lots of people. People in Maine was on, and other parts too, and I want to go into all of that. Hallelujah. Thank you for your worship. Go to turn to Revelation chapter number 12 and verse 15, and I am president of Northeast Christian College, and it's really, really pretty neat to be part of that. And Brother Wallace was doing my job before I was there, and then he came to North Carolina in Jacksonville, and they asked me to fill the position. And I just said so many times, I wish that Kevin Wallace was here and not me, or else if I was there, he was there with me. And because I'm a visionary, I'm a motivational, I'm that kind of a guy, but nuts and bolts, I know they have to be there. A vehicle wouldn't hold together good unless they had them. The nuts and bolts is such an integral part of anything. Man, I love it when someone else is doing that. And I can just cast vision and motivate and all of that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. What an awesome presence of God. Revelations 12 and verse number 15, 15 through 17. And if you know anything about eschatology or prophecy, you know that this is talking to, if you believe in pre-trib, the church is already gone. But I'm not a prophecy preacher. I'm going to reach in here and bring a principle out of here, and that I believe that God has put in his word. And Revelations 12 and 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. The serpent is the devil, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood or of this water. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon, or the devil, amen, the serpent, was angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm not here to talk about prophecy in any way. If you're pre-trib, then you know that the church would be taken over. If you're mid-trib, the church would probably still be here. If you're post-trib, and we won't go into all of that. If you don't understand any of that, and if you're new to it, guess what? We don't understand it either. Amen, and that's the truth. But here is what I do know. As Galatians says, it tells that Israel, amen, she was the natural seed, and the church is a spiritual seed. So regardless of whether it is a natural in this situation is talking about Israel, or if it's a spiritual and is talking about the church, whenever the hell comes after the woman or comes after the seed, the remnant of the seed is always after the people that love their God. Hallelujah. Always after the people that love their God. So with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to talk to you this afternoon on this subject. What's that you're drinking? What's that you're drinking? Jesus, I love you and I worship you and I honor you today, Lord, and I exalt you, Lord, and magnify, exalt your name. And God, hide me today behind the cross. I submit myself, Lord, to the spiritual authority, the spiritual leadership of this church, God. While I'm here, Lord, ministering in this church, ministering, Lord, in this congregation, Lord, God, I am totally under submission to the men, God, and the women that lead this congregation. God, I pray today, Lord, that you would use me in some little way, God, to encourage someone, or someone may reach out and receive something from you today. It'd be great today, Jesus. Lord, if it was your will, and I believe it is, Lord, that someone would receive the Holy Ghost for the very first time, or someone that's had the Holy Ghost, but it's been a while since they had a renewing, that today, Jesus, they would be renewed in your spirit. I love you, Jesus, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Man, there's something about a river that a place becomes associated with that river. I went on, if it's not all true, you can blame Wikipedia, because I understand that everything they have is not true. But for the sake of just a little bit of information, I went on a line and to try to find out something about some rivers in North Carolina. And the one that would probably be the closest as far as a major river into this area, and into Statesville and down through this area, would be, and I am a Canadian, man, I have lived in Maine, I've traveled around the world, and so my accent is terrible, okay? Now, my words run together, and so if I don't pronounce something right, that's okay. You can laugh, okay? And when you laugh, I'll laugh with you, because it really doesn't bother me anymore. But I call it something like Yadkin. Is that right? Yadkin River? Is that close enough? It's perfect. Oh, wow. I should have went to the other one, okay? Something different. But it tells me that I've never been to Blowing Rock. I've never been to Blowing Rock. Have you? Oh, okay. And so I wish I had a few more days and I'd get someone to take me to Blowing Rock. But the Yadkin River, its headwaters is near Blowing Rock, and it flows east and then south across near North Carolina's, and they say, densely populated midsection. Amen. That's a little bit like me. I'm densely populated in my midsection too. Okay. And it goes through farmland, and it goes through all of that. And I went down through Winston-Salem and Statesville and Lexington and Salisbury. And then it says it fans out through 7 man-made reservoirs before its name changes to the PD River. I like Yadkin. Okay. PD River below Lake Tillery, and then the PD course is another 230 miles to the Atlantic Ocean, leaves North Carolina near the community of McFarland, and then ends its journey at South Carolina's, I'm not going to try that, some bay. Hallelujah. It runs really down through the heartland of North Carolina. But here is the interesting thing about it, that you can go down to where the Yadkin River, amen, and the PD River flows into the Atlantic Ocean. And if you had a bottle about that size, you could go to the edge of where that river flows in, and you could put that. Don't tell Brother Linder. He's okay. Don't tell Sister Linder, okay? Amen. And you can put that bottle down in the river, and if you got that full of that water and you took it to a lab, all of you smart people would know this. You take it to a lab where they test waters. They could tell you bacteria. They could tell you mineral content. They could tell you everything about what's in the water at Blowing Rock. Is that right? Okay. They could tell you, but because when something gets in the water in that river, it travels with it. Oh, it picks up other particles and other poisons and other things with it. I won't go on and talk about a whole lot more with that, but just to tell you that they say there is now a study in North Carolina about the pollution that's in so much of the river from the towns and the cities and the lands that surround about it, and they can tell all about that. The Word of God tells me that hell has opened up its mouth and has released a flood or a stream from the mouth of hell into the life stream of this world. Oh, listen to me this morning for a few minutes, if you would. I'll try not to bore you and be long-winded today, but I will tell you today that hell has opened up his mouth. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be real smart. Amen. As far as a lot of things in this world is concerned, to know that our world is in a mess. And I'm not here to preach bad times and things like that, but I do want you to understand that hell, amen, has opened up our mouth, amen, after our people. Hell is out to get you. Hell is out to get your home. Hell is out to get your family. Hell is out to get what you have. But I come by to tell hell today, hell, you're not having the church of a living God, because there's a few, one God, apostolic, Jesus name people that's made up their mind. Oh yeah, we will stand, amen, for apostolic truth. Oh yeah, we really will. Amen. Mankind was created where the spirit was pure and clean and sinless. Amen. But for decades and ages, hell has been pouring its filth into the stream of man's spirit. And today, man is messed up, and man is perverted, and man is polluted, and man is in a mess because of what hell has put in. Oh, I could take this morning 20 minutes today and talk about you, mom and dad, what you need to put guidelines, and you need to put some things around your home and family and stop the flow of hell into your home. Oh yeah, I really could. I really could. In 2011, I believe it was, there was a big earth tsunami in Japan. It started with an earthquake. And they said, I could have put the picture up, but I didn't want to take a whole lot of time with it today. Amen. But whenever that tsunami that happened in Japan, they said that a little while after, that there was an island of debris that was the size of United Kingdom, amen, that was floating towards the Pacific Northwest. There was a high school out in Oregon, amen, there was a football that came to shore out there. There was a motorcycle that washed up on one shore all the way from Japan, because as debris got into the ocean over there and the tides brought it, amen, all the way. They said the Pacific, amen, western part of the North American continent was facing a tsunami of debris, of pollution that was coming to it. Thank God for the currents and the tides and everything that dissipated that and broke it up. But now that mess is sunk to the bottom of the Pacific Ocean thereabouts, and I come by this morning to tell you it's still there, it's laying there, and our world is like that today. You may not see it, you may not be able to put your eyes on it, amen, but deep within the heart of mankind, the people you work with, the people that you associate with, the people that pumps your gasoline, or the waitress that serves you at the restaurant, they may look nice, they may look kind, and maybe it look like everything's great, but down deep inside, there's a hurt down deep inside. Amen. There's things that's there because hell, amen, has put into their system and put in the spirit of our world this tsunami of stuff that comes from hell. Oh, yeah. I'm not against video games. Man, I'm really not. But I preach against them. And the reason I do, because I can't play them. The last video games, Sister Myers, that I conquered was Pac-Man. And my granddaughters don't even know what it is. If you know what Pac-Man is, you're old. And that wasn't even a video game. That's my checkers and dominoes. That was what I was good at. But really, Yahtzee was better, because I just didn't have to have a brain with that. But do you understand today that our world is here, that there's a series that's called Giant Bomb video games, and they do it more than video games, and it's not just someone that sells them, but Giant Bomb maintains it in their games, amen, that vampire is a concept that appeared in some 600 of their games, in one of their forums, amen, this video game. And again, I'm not preaching against all video games. I'm really not. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand, amen, that what we have to do is stop and take a picture, amen, and investigate what we're involved in and what we're not involved in. Amen. But this company said this in one of their forums. They said that they had to put a nail through the heart of Jesus instead of through his hands and his feet, that he never could have resurrected again. Amen. And yet we have apostolic young people, amen, the setting, and moms and dad don't know what's going on, and they're putting this garbage into their spirit time and time again, and we wonder why we're having the problem we're having. Hallelujah. But I come by this morning to tell you, mom and dad, oh, come on, church leader, amen, come on, young people, there's another river. I said, there's another river that hell has no control over. Shakaramandaya. We don't have to lose our young people to hell. We don't have to lose our families to hell. If you're here today and you're hurting, and you're here today and you're in a mess, I come by to tell you, there's another river that you can drink from that will change your life. And man, in 2016, December the 1st, I get on the scales, and I weighed 247.5 pounds. Life changed for me in a moment's time as I realized that I was getting more mature. As long as mature is years and not life skills. And so I was getting more mature, and if I wasn't careful, it wouldn't be any easier. So now, Brian, when we went out last night, I got an unsweetened iced tea with lots of lemon to take away the taste. If I get a soda, I get a Diet Coke or a Coke Zero and ask them for lots of lime to take away the taste. And if I happen to go to a fast food place and they got the fountains that you put your own in, I put a little bit of root beer in first. Amen. And I don't like Diet Coke. And I don't like Diet Pepsi or any of it. But I drink it once in a while. And I don't drink a whole lot of soda of any kind. But once in a while I drink it, especially if it's going to be something spicy and hot. And I drink it just because it's there. And I make sure that I get something that's not full of sugar. And I'm not here to preach to you about sugar today. Amen. You can do your own study on that. But I'm just here to tell you that I made a decision. Amen. That I'm not going to I'm going to watch what I drink. And I'm not going to drink a whole lot of any of that junk unless I'm going to drink mostly water. Amen. And more coffee than I should. But that's from heaven. That's why. Amen. But what happens with it? Amen. What I want to ask you this morning, what is it that you're drinking? What is it that you're drinking? I need someone to help me. Would you mind if I embarrass you? Okay, don't you do any of your martial arts, okay? Don't you practice on me. No, you sit down. You sit down. I see a young man over here. Come on up here. Yeah, come on up here. Not a man that's got... No, not someone that's a specialist in martial arts. Is not touching. I'm not... Okay, come on. But here's what's happened with hell. Bend over just a bit. And okay, don't you throw me, will you? Okay. I don't know what you call it down here, but in New Brunswick, we call it a headlock or a hammerlock or a full Nelson or a half Nelson. I don't know what's the difference between a full Nelson and a half Nelson. Amen. Amen. But hell has the world in a choke lock. I said hell has the world in a choke lock. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, it can get a hold of us. It can hold us captive. Amen. It really, really can. But thank you. But I don't want that to happen to me. A while ago, a few years ago now, I was in my office and I was praying. And it's good when the president of a Bible college prays. And I was praying and I was talking to God about retirement. And talking about God, to God about the mess the world is in. And I won't go into the whole details, but God said to me, he said, Mel, at 30 years of age, what did you do? And I said, well, I, I left the secular world, went into the ministry. God said, I know that, but what did you do? I knew what he wanted me to say, but I didn't want to say it, yeah, okay? Right, right. You know, he asks you a question, he puts the answer in your mind, in your spirit. And so finally I said, well, God, I gave up my life for you. And it's like God smiled before he didn't slap me, but before he let me know, a gentle rebuke. And he said, you're telling me, Mel, that when you were 30 years of age, you put your life in my hands and you let me mold it and shape it. And you let me put you where you are and do all of that. And you're telling me that at your age now, and I don't know what I was in my early 60s. He said, you're telling me now that at this age, you're going to yank it back from me again. And you're going to say, well, I want to plan out everything there is. Can I tell you, amen, that however long it has been, there's no doubt in my mind, there's people in here today that you haven't been in at Heaven View. You haven't been in the apostolic church for a long time. But there's also no doubt in my mind that there are men and women that's been in the church for years and years, decades and decades and decades. My grandmother received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 1930, some before there ever was a UPC. Man, do you think for one moment that if I get down through my family history and I go down through all of that and everything they went through, that whenever, before there was a United Pentecostal Church, even in existence, or before, way back then, that if my family, amen, put their hands and put their life into the hands of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, that now, just because our world is in a mess, and that now just because society is in a mess and we don't know where their world is going, do you think I'm going to go and yank my life back again now and say, no, oh, it's okay. God, I'm going to try to figure it out by myself. You see, hell has unleashed its force into our world, and I'm not against self-help and discipline. My library is full of it. I don't preach against Alcoholic Anonymous and other groups, and anything that can do anything good, I thank God for it. But I want you to know that no matter what hell brings down the highway and brings down your street and into your subdivision or down your country lane, I want you to know there's a river from God that is greater and more powerful than anything that hell can do. If hell could bring our families through the depression, if hell could bring our families, amen, through that they went through, amen, to get to where they are now, amen, if hell, amen, could not stop them from coming and heaven could bring them through, I can buy to tell you that no matter what hell releases today, that God can bring you through. God can bring it victorious. God can bring it out in the end. There is a river that flows from eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is another river. Amen. In Psalm 65 and 9 says, you visit the earth and you water it. You greatly enrich it with the river of God, which is full of water. You prepare them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Because there is a river that flows from the throne room of God. It does not mingle with the river from hell. Amen. But when the river of God comes, the river of hell has to go another direction. Hallelujah. I come by to tell you there's a river from God that supersedes anything that hell can bring to you. Isaiah wrote that God would create a river in the desert, and Job said, behold, he drinketh up a river. Can I tell you that at Calvary, Jesus has already taken care of the river of hell, and the river of hell has no more power over me. Amen. Genesis 2 and 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. I like to look at those four heads, north, south, east, and west. Amen. Every realm of revival there is in this world, amen, God can do it. God's here at Heaven View today, but in Dordrecht, amen, in the Netherlands today, where your pastor's at, I got news for you. Jesus Christ is there too, because the river that flows from eternity is not limited to Winston-Salem, but it's everywhere. Oh yeah. Hallelujah, revival. Amen. You may have family in Eastern Europe that you're praying for, but the river of God is there. Hear me this morning, if you would. I come by to tell you today that this river of God is more than a 5-minute talking in tongues on Sunday, but it is a river that flows from eternity that will change your life. Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. Man, Psalms 46 and 4 and 5, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Listen to me. Amen. Shall make glad. Or can I say the joy of the Lord is your strength. I come by to tell you, amen, that when you drink from the river of God, there's something that happens in your spirit. There's something that happens in your mind. There's something that happens throughout your whole being. Amen. Your sadness is turned to joy. Your sorrow is turned to joy. Amen. As the river of God flows through. Amen. Oh, yeah. Isaiah 48 and 18. When you drank of the river of God, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river. Oh, I love it. I love it. The river of God. I love it. Your peace had been like a river. Her name is Ruth, and she told me I could use her story. Otherwise, I would not do it. But her name is Ruth. I was preaching a youth camp, and Ruth was a brand new lady in our church. Had only been in the church just a few weeks. Amen. I was going to preach a youth camp, and it wasn't a long ways away. It's probably an hour, maybe 45 minutes from where we were living in Maine at the time. And I was going to come home on Tuesday night. And when I get ready to leave on Monday morning, you see, I'm happily married. And my wife said, Mel, why don't you come home tonight instead of tomorrow night? And my wife, okay, I'm going to do what she tells me to do. And so I went home. So that night after the service was over, I went home. Man, there was another girl staying there with my daughter and one of the young ladies in the church. And my wife was there. And it was really before the days that everyone had cell phones. I think I had one, but it was one of those ones that was bigger than an 8088 computer, you know, one of those big old bag phones. And that I couldn't afford to use. I just had it because someone gave it to me and wanted to appear cool. And so I come home that night, and it must have been somewhere around 11 o'clock. We went to bed, just got in bed, and the phone rang, and I picked up the receiver, hello, and lady screaming on the other end of the phone, he's gone, pastor, he's gone. And I didn't know. Finally, I found out who it was, and I thought maybe her husband had left her, and no, pastor is my boy. And I don't want to open up any wounds for anyone, because we've all walked down this road in one way or another. But she was crying uncontrollably, and her 23-year-old son that night had a Mustang car he'd been working on, and he was on his way to take a friend home. And then after working on the car, and he had a short in the headlights, and they were one of the things they were fixing, but they didn't get it fixed, and the headlights went out as best as they could tell, and he bent down to wiggle the wires in the headlight switch, and it would come back on again. But coming the other way, amen, was a cab over a Freightliner 18-wheeler. And when Dean leaned over to wiggle the wires, amen, the headlights was out on his car, and he crossed the center line and went headlong into a cab over Freightliner. My wife and I, we got out of bed, and my wife called someone from the church, said, call a prayer meeting. Amen. And so people started calling prayer meetings, and a bunch of people came to the church, and we went down to Alan Roos' place. Stacy was there, and Charity was there. And we went down and went in, and Ruth grabbed the hold of me, and she just hung on with both arms. And it was her boy, and she was crying uncontrollably. Al came over, and we get together, and we prayed. And I'm the preacher, okay? I mean, I've got all the answers, but I didn't know what to say. I didn't know, how do you comfort someone? And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Amen. We prayed, didn't know what to do. Finally, about probably, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning or so, Ruth said, let's go to Stan and Lena's. And that was the grandparents' place. And we went up, and Stan and Lena's place was full of family members. And we go in, and we're praying, and we're crying. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll never forget it. And Ruth looked at me, and she said, a brand new convert. And she said, Pastor, take me to the church. She said, I've got to go to the church. And so we loaded into cars, went over to the church, drove in the churchyard, and the churchyard was full of cars. This precious saints of God had get out of bed to come and pray. And we went into the church, and Ruth went right down the center aisle, her husband over on one side, and she knelt down on this side of the platform, and I'm the preacher, so I knelt down back at the back, and I, well, what in the world am I going to say? How am I going to comfort this lady? What am I going to do? And so I'm saying, God, I hope she doesn't backslide. I hope she doesn't lose out with you. Oh, this is a crisis. This is a tragedy. Amen. This is a sad situation. I'm begging God to please somehow. And finally, after 15, 20 minutes, I knew that as a preacher, I had to do something. And be thankful you have Brother Linder, because, amen, I don't have two clues, amen, when it comes to that stuff. And so finally I get up and I come down on this side and beckon my wife. My wife was sitting in the seat. She came down. My wife got on one side of Ruth and I got on the other side. I put my arm around her shoulders and just, I'm waiting, oh God, got my head down on the altar. And that lady was crying and she was praying. And here's what she was saying. Pastor, she said, Jesus, I want you to be near my mom and dad. She said, I have the church. I have my pastor and wife. She said, I have you, Lord. I have the Holy Ghost. She said, I have peace. But she said, my mom and dad, they don't go to church. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have you, Jesus. They don't have any peace. And I started crying like a little girl that scraped her knee. I started crying uncontrollably. As I realized that a brand new convert had come to an understanding, amen, that the Holy Ghost, this river of God, wasn't just a 5-minute high on a Sunday service. It wasn't just some escape hatch, amen, to take you from hell. And yes, it is part of the new birth, and I thank God for it. But a brand new convert taught this preacher that the darkest hour of your night, and it feels like your life has crashed in, and the world is jumping on you with both feet, amen, and it seems there's no hope left. A brand new convert taught me that you can go to a place, at an old-fashioned altar, and there is a river, amen, that flows from the throne room of eternity, that can bring peace in the darkest night. Oh, I don't know why, but I just can't get away from that. I could take you to women, amen, that were abused, amen, by husbands. I could take you to people, amen, that was messed up, amen, in this world. I could take you to people that their life was in literal turmoil, amen, but they had a joy in their life, and they had a peace in their life, and they had a balance in their step. I could take you to a lady by the name of Glenna. Amen. Glenna's husband, amen, was a wife abuser. Amen. He was an alcoholic. He was messed up in this world. Glenna came to church on Sunday morning. We had Sunday morning and Sunday night. On Sunday morning, Glenna would come to church and she'd be dressed in her Pentecostal finery, her nice fancy shoes on, and she would walk, amen, in and said and do it. She was involved in Sunday school and other things. Amen. But on Sunday night, when Glenna came to church, she would still be dressed nice, but she'd have her running shoes on. Or my generation would say sneakers on. Amen. Why? Because before the service ever started, when the musician, when the piano player, amen, and the organ player and the drums, amen, and the guitar started, 10 minutes before service started, Glenna was in the aisles worshiping God. Her husband may abuse her when she got home, but she was away and she knew where her peace came. I come by to tell you, God's more than a trick. God's more than a high on Sunday. But Jesus Christ is a power of God. Hallelujah. This Holy Ghost will bring peace to you. Hallelujah. 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 I'm rushing. prayer, Ezekiel 47. Amen. After he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar, this river of God. Amen. When your pastor calls a prayer meeting, or there's an altar call, amen, or your pastor, or when the ministry team tries to get you to pray a certain amount of time every day, it's not to do penance. That's not what it is. They know that if they can get you to go to a place of prayer, that when you touch eternity, there's a river that flows. Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Can I tell you today that what America needs, what Canada needs, amen, what our world needs, it needs a church to understand. It needs the church to understand that the answer to our world is not the government. I thank God if a government can do something to help us, but the answer to our situation, there is no government. No matter what political party you're part of or you stand behind, there is no government that has the answer. Amen. And I'm not here to preach politics, but I'm telling you that you and I, as the church of the living God, we can bring peace, we can bring joy, and we can bring healing to our homes and to our families and to our nation. Amen. He that believeth on me, in John 7:38, amen, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Once again, I want to tell you, this Holy Ghost that Pentecostals preach about, and we love and thank God for, is the power of God. You can reach and you can read in any kind of thing you want to. If you go back to scholars and search it out, what turned the tide of our world, amen, was, hallelujah, it was, amen, the apostolic movement that had its beginning in Topeka, Kansas, in a Bible college, and then into Azusa Street. And from there, 1913 had meant to the revelation of the wonders of God. And I thank God for it. Amen. Revival has come around our world. I will not take time to go into the statistics, but I'll tell you that right now we only see a little bit of what's happening in our world. In China right now, there is an apostolic group that's there, that's underground. Amen. A while ago, amen, they came to Vancouver, BC. Brother Goddard, who was a superintendent in Anderson, South Carolina, used to pastor in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Amen. And when they sold the church, amen, there was a group from China. There's a one God, Jesus name, apostolic group that brought that church, and they came into Vancouver, British Columbia, to reach the Chinese people that was there. Amen. I forget how many million people they have in the world that's baptized in Jesus' name. Wherever you go, that's what's happening. The Holy Ghost is flowing through our world. Oh, great and wonderful apostolic. Let me tell you, don't give up on it. Don't lean away from it. Don't turn away from it, but embrace it with every fiber of your being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of our missionaries, this is missions service. Hallelujah. One of our missionaries that's in a country that he's not allowed to broadcast. He's probably been here, maybe in an offline session, even shared his testimony here. But what had happened, he is in somewhere and over in Asia as a missionary. And he had a Filipino lady who was a doctor. I can't remember what doctor, what field she was in, but she was a specialist in some field that moved to the country he was at because of work, was there and came to his church, got involved in the church. And one day she wanted to speak to him. And she said, "Pastor, God has called me to go to this country, and meant to be a missionary to win gospel, the lost there." And he called her by name, this Filipino lady called her by name and said, "You can't get in there." She said, "I know, but the only way I can get in there, amen, is through the medical field." And so him and his wife, they got to thinking and talking about it, and they wanted to visit that particular country themselves. And so what they did, man, they talked to Haran and they made arrangements to go in there with a tour group that they were allowed to go in, just go in to do a tour. And so while they were in this major city in Asia waiting for the tour guide called them to one side, everyone that was there on the tour, and they were one side and they were getting directions. And said, you remember when we get into this country, we get there, you can't go anywhere by yourself. It's always going to be two by two. You can't get involved in any conversation of anyone that's there at all. Amen. They're under this lockdown thing. And you're there, you stick with the group. And unless you get special permission, you're not allowed to go anywhere by yourself. And she said, and this tour guide said to the group that was there, she said, is anyone here, are you wanting to make contact with someone there? And the missionary said, he said, all of a sudden, I heard an Arkansas draw. And this big old a guy from Arkansas, okay, Canadian, I wouldn't know. Hey, man, he said, yeah, I do. I got someone in there I want to see if I can get in touch with. And I can't do Arkansas like some of you can do Arkansas. Amen. Some of you are probably from Arkansas, so you can really do it. But you can't do Canadian like it. I could do it either. And so, anyway, and the tour guide said, yeah. I said, okay, what do you want to do? And this guy from Arkansas said, I have got a buddy of mine. He's a doctor. And he works at the top hospital as a surgeon there. And he said, we're standing there listening to this. And he said, so we get right over by him. Oh, yeah, we're going to be too. And so they get talking. Make a long story short, they went in. Contact was made. While they were there, it was a national holiday. A national holiday that was going on. And the head guy of that nation was making a speech, whatever you call him. I don't know if it was president or prime minister. Or I don't know what they call him. He was making a speech. And they said, so they went to this big field. I forget how many football fields it was. Size of field was this big park outside. Bringing all the tourists in because they wanted all the tourists to know that it wasn't really as bad as his media was saying. So he said, when we were all done this, and the tour guide looked at us and said, okay, you got 40 minutes. You can go see two by two as long as you stay within the confines of this park. You can stay here and you can walk around. So the missionary said, I took my wife by the hand and said, now is our time. And we started walking around the perimeter of the park talking in tongues. Because he said, we knew God had sent us there for a purpose. Talking in tongues. Praying. I said, we felt the Holy Ghost. This country that's controlled by a dictator. And he said, he told him what was happening. He felt God moving. Someone was released. And he was given this testimony at a group of people that was there. It wasn't on internet at all. As he gave the testimony, there was an interruption. And there was a message in tongues and an interpretation. I don't remember how the interpretation went, but it was like this. It said, Brother Turner and Brother Bernard Sr. has stood at the border, Sister Brenda, of that nation. And people from around the world have stood at the border and prayed for that nation. But said, the day you stood there and you prayed, outside of that building, there was a river that was released. And it was a pileup. I can't remember the exact wording, but it was a backup of the river that all of those people had prayed for all of these years. And that river is flowing in North Korea right now. That was about a year and a half ago. And we know everything that's transpired. And again, I'm not into politics and all of that stuff. But can I tell you, amen, that yesterday, your president had a meeting the day before another leader, amen, Secretary of State, had a leader with one of the top guys from North Korea. There's something that's happening. Oh, I don't think the politics has it all. Brother Turner, Brother Bernard Sr., and those men and those women from South Korea that have prayed for their nation, and the Apostolic Church and Christians around the world has prayed for years, and there's a crack that's coming into the barrier that's around that nation, and God is doing something supernatural and something special. Can I tell you, great apostolics, what this world needs is you. Stand, musicians, please come back. A friend of mine is a pastor in Ontario, Canada. Eddie, amen, and Sonia, they've been church planters all their life. Eddie, or all their ministry. They had three children. One is Kyle. Kyle graduated from high school, came to Bible college, then went to college. He's involved in some field to do with counseling now in some capacity in Ontario. But Corey was another case. Corey got in drugs. Corey got in mess. Corey got all bent out of shape. Corey took his young sister out in that world. Amen. And they became involved in things that I don't even want to talk about. One night, amen, at our Bible college, we were having a special service. And there was another guy from that church that was starting the Bible college that year. And Corey came because they were friends in Sunday school. And we had a blowout service. That night, Corey prayed through, got delivered. It was amazing. I'd been to their home, and when Corey was backslid and their daughter was backslid, and Sonia, amen, Eddie's wife, she's one of those people that just does not give up. Tiny, petite little woman, and she's a prayer warrior. Amen. She just knows how to go at it. Eddie said, Mel, many nights I woke up in the middle of the night, and my wife wasn't in bed, and I get up and wonder where she's at. I go downstairs, and she'd be in Corey's bedroom, laying on the bed, or in our daughter's bedroom, laying on the bed. Intercessory prayer for our children that's backslid. I told them one day, a little illustration that God gave me, that you see, they can't get away from your prayers. I said, you could take it like a clock. And a clock is like round, or the old ones were round. Amen. And what happens, you start at the midnight, you start at the 12 o'clock or 12 o'clock noon, whatever you want to do, you start at 12 o'clock and you start praying for that backslider. Amen. And the ones away from God, or someone that's never been in church, you begin to pray for them and they go around. Amen. You're going to bring them to different places, and periodically it will happen because God's word will not lie. They'll come to a decision-making place. They'll come back up to that place of decision. You can pray them to that place. If they say no and then reject it, you can go back to prayer and you give it a bit of time and they'll pray again. And as long as they've got life, you can bring them to that place, but they must say yes. Corey told me after he came into church, he said, oh, Brother Calhoun, I'll never forget. I took my little sister to this party one night. He mentioned, I took her to this party. Said drugs, all kinds of stuff, LSD, coke, every heroin, everything was there. Said it was awful that was there. And he said, it was one of those nights. Said I looked across the room in a fog at my little sister. Little sister was a beautiful young lady. Said I looked across the room at her and I saw her and she was strung out. And all of a sudden, there was no one near her. And she said, all of a sudden, he said something picked her up and threw her across the room and she landed in a corner. And I knew that hell had attacked her. Said I went over and grabbed her and drug her out, and we ran home to get home. Said she was involved, and he said I was involved in witchcraft. We were involved in the demonic, involved in everything. But what there was a mom by the name of Zonia that knew where there was another river that she could drink from. Hashakada Mandaya. Hallelujah. And today, Corey is in church. He just moved to Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. He's married to a precious lady. Amen. They're involved in the church, living for God, walking for God. And Marika is in church living for God. Amen. She's got a little girl. Amen. And she's involved in the worship service. And she's involved in the leadership of the church. And there she is. Because you see, I can by to tell you that no matter what hell brings down your road, amen, there's another river that flows from God. See, you have a decision to make today. What river are you going to drink from? If you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can have it. Because that river from God is the Holy Ghost. You can have it. If you're here, amen, and you're not what you used to be. You used to be on fire, but it's been a while since you had a real good drink at the river. You can come and you can drink of that river and be renewed, and the joy of God can come back in your spirit again. If you're here, amen, and you're involved in the Church of Living God, but you've just never given it all, I challenge you today to come. We're going to open this altar up, and I apologize for being so long, but I'm just going to open this altar up for a few minutes. If you're here today and you'd like to drink from the river of God, would you come around this altar today? Amen. As they sing and play, would you come? Church family, would you come? If you know someone that needs the Holy Ghost, if you know someone that needs the Holy Ghost, why don't you come? Why don't you bring them? Why don't you put your arm around them? Don't embarrass them.